It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The waterfront is an example of a former industrial site that has been redeveloped. As developers ponder the future of the Shenango site, what are the challenges involved in redeveloping it? I'm joined now by Donald Smith, president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation. Don Smith, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Great, thanks.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Is the former Shenango site ripe for development, Donald Smith? And if so, why?
Well, I think it potentially is. You were talking about some of the environmental issues, and some of those are still to be seen. But certainly in a location sense, it's a great location. It has a lot of industrial infrastructure in terms of rail and barge access that makes it attractive. And so it could be a prime redevelopment site, but a lot depends on what the condition of the site is.
And have you had a chance to go in there and assess that at this point?
We haven't. We've had some conversations with DTE, the parent company, about doing that. But that is the first step in any brownfield situation, is really to go in and do the environmental assessment so you can figure out what needs to be done to bring the site back into productive use.
Just for people that may not be familiar with the term, explain what the term brownfield means.
Basically, it's any site that has already been developed and then idled. So it has already been developed. It's not a greenfield site like a new field or a farm that's converted into an industrial site or a mall or houses. So there are issues related to all the uses that were on site previously that have to be addressed before you can put something new on there.
So here we are left with this brownfield site on Neville Island. And I'm guessing there's all sorts of challenges involved in redeveloping a site like this.
There really are. I mean, the good news is that Pittsburgh has as much experience as any place in the country or the world, really, in industrial site reuse by virtue of the fact of all the steel mill sites that we have along our rivers. At RIDC, we've been involved in probably half a dozen at least at the Pittsburgh Technology Center, the Heppenstall mill site in Lawrenceville, McKeesport, Duquesne, Turtle Creek, and now the Almano site. So we have a lot of experience. It is a daunting process. It takes some time. But the opportunity is to really bring some very strategically located properties back into economic use.
And apparently you have some insight into what happened with the former LTV site in Hazelwood, which was shut down in 1999. But it looks like they're still sifting through the options there.
Well, actually, I think the Almano site is really poised for development. There is a major roadway and utility infrastructure underway right now that'll make the site ready to be developed. The environmental work's all been done. It's actually been cleared not just for industrial but also for residential. So it is a pretty clean site at this stage. And once the infrastructure is in, and that's another main challenge for brownfields, is they were really built for an era where rail and barge was the transportation medium. And now you really need to figure out how to get people on and off the site. And so putting new infrastructure in is going to be a major challenge. It was for Almano. It will be for Shenango.
Again, our number, 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002, if you want to join our conversation with Donald Smith, president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation, talking about what could happen at the former Shenango site on Neville Island. What would you like to see happen there? What concerns do you have as a citizen or resident of the region about what could be happening at that site? And are there environmental concerns that you have? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Are there certain required steps involved in converting a brownfield site into something else?
Well, it really depends on what your reuse is. If you're going to reuse it for a similar use, the restrictions are less onerous. But the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection has what's called the Act II statute, the Land Recycling Act, and that really sets out the steps and the process that you have to go through in order to get clearance to reuse those properties. And it really is one of the better programs in the country in terms of ensuring the safety of the public, but also putting those sites back into reuse.
And how much environmental cleanup is needed? And I guess, again, it depends on what is going to be what the site's going to be repurposed for. But I would think that there's a fair amount of cleanup that has to happen.
Well, there's certainly a lot of testing and evaluation that has to go on. And the sites vary considerably in how much contamination and the type of contamination that's in the ground. In most cases, what we've experienced with the steel-related businesses, there are some heavy metals in the ground. But by and large, they don't migrate. And so if you don't disturb them, they don't pose a threat. And so that's where the strategy of cap and contain, which is adding some clean fill on top of the site and really trying to do all your development work in that clean fill layer rather than digging up what might be buried in the site.
So what might you be filling it in with?
Typically clean fill. I mean, as was mentioned in Almano, it was the tunnel under the river, the casino garage, Pitt Olympic Center. All those big projects create a lot of excess fill, and so it was kind of a win-win. It was cheaper for them to just take it to our site, and it was a benefit for us because we have anywhere from 4 to 14 feet of fill across the entire site so that new development can happen in that clean fill layer.
What concerns has the public, if any, has the public come to you with regard to residual toxicity on that site and how it might be mitigated?
Well, I think obviously the neighbors are concerned about what is the nature of any environmental contamination on site, and then what's the remediation plan. And in the Almano case, for example, we've had literally dozens of test wells that have been there for 10 years monitoring to make sure that nothing is migrating under the site, that nothing's getting into the groundwater, and there isn't a threat to any of the neighbors or future residents or workers on the site. And fortunately, our results have been very clean.
An LTV steel mill in Pittsburgh's South Side became, as you know, Southside Works. Can you envision something like that happening on Neville Island?
Well, I think there's a case to be made that we already have a very significant number of retail sites around the region, and I'm not sure that that's the highest and best use. It's not clear that we're under-retailed. On the other hand, industrial space demand is quite high right now, particularly close to the city. And so not generally the heavy industrial steel and coke kind of operations, but other manufacturing and distribution activities, that would be a site that would be very well located with its proximity to the city, also to the workforce in Robinson or Swickley or the city. It's a very well located site. So my first thought would be that some sort of industrial reuse, probably in a cleaner, lighter, more technology-oriented manufacturing would be probably the quickest path to reuse.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And again, my guest is Donald Smith. He's president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation, RIDC, looking at possible reuse of the Shenango site, the former Shenango Coke Works on Neville Island. What do you think should happen on that site? Our number, 412-246-2002, for you to join our conversation with a comment or a question. We'd like to hear from people who live in that area about how life has changed since Shenango shut down and what you might like to see happen in that immediate vicinity. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Donald Smith, president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation. What are some of the entities that you think, Don, this site might appeal to?
Well, I think if you look at the energy industry, right now we're in a little bit of a slump because gas prices are so low, but the Marcellus industry is a big potential opportunity. And I think if the cracker plant is to locate in Monaca, that would create an enormous number of downstream opportunities for the industries that use the product coming out of the cracker, the plastics kinds of industries. This would be a great site for those downstream industries in the plastics and related industrial uses that really benefit from the proximity of the natural gas here in Western PA.
And what specifically would they, just out of curiosity, what would they be creating?
Well, mostly they'd be making plastic pellets. It's the raw material that goes into forming all of the plastic goods that we use, from our water bottles to all the things in your kitchen to your car. We actually have a fairly significant plastics industry presence in Western PA because of our proximity to all the customers. And so it really would be a pretty good bet that we'd see some of that activity happen in the region if the cracker comes to be, and Neville Island would be a great location for that.
So there would be kind of a domino effect there.
Absolutely, and I think that's the great thing about the manufacturing industries is they have so many suppliers and then so many downstream customers that one manufacturer can actually result in the location or expansion of two or three or four or six other manufacturers and really help build an ecosystem that helps sustain our regional economy.
Pittsburgh is becoming a technology hub. Have technology companies been in touch with the RIDC about creating technology campuses on former industrial sites in the region?
Absolutely. A great example of that is the Heppenstall Mill site in Lawrenceville, where we have our chocolate factory that hosts technology companies like Holomics and Red Zone and Nano Grip Tech. And then the mill building itself that's still there in Lawrenceville is now occupied by Carnegie Robotics, a spin-out of Carnegie Mellon and the National Robotics Engineering Consortium. And we're actually building a new building there now focused on those robotics and technology companies. So when you bring these sites back into use, because they're so well located, they really can be very attractive to some of the technology companies who like that authenticity and the grit that comes from the old industrial heritage, but by providing new facilities that are very high efficiency and very functional for them as well.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation. Let's go to Doug, who is at Neville Island, or calling from there. Doug, welcome. How are you?
Good, and how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for calling in, and go ahead with your comment or question.
My comment is, while it would be nice to have something like the waterfront be able to locate in that section of Neville Island, I can't see it happening because there are other businesses, industrial businesses, right there in that same area. And it just wouldn't work. The only thing that I could see going in there would be another manufacturing or a warehousing type facility.
And that seems to go along with what you've been saying, Don.
I think it does. And the site is only 50 acres. The waterfront, I think, is significantly larger than that, probably about three times that size. You do need a certain scale for some of those lifestyle centers. And so the surrounding manufacturing companies probably do mean manufacturing is the best candidate for this site.
Again, the number 412-246-2002, the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation about the future of Neville Island now that the Shenango Coke Works is shutting down. What would you like to see happen on that site? What are the environmental concerns that you have? And if you've lived in that area, if you've been downwind of that plant, how has life changed for you since the Shenango Coke Works have shut down? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Do retail or industrial sites bring the best return on investment when developing an industrial site? Does it depend on the size of the site?
It really does. I mean, I think that generally your highest returns come from more office or residential kinds of uses. Land values are higher for those uses generally. But we have a very strong industrial market in Western PA, and we've seen a lot of those industrial companies doing very well and expanding. So we've seen very strong demand on our industrial sites for those facilities that we have. As a matter of fact, I think there's a case to be made that the region is really underserved with existing facilities ready to go, and we're missing some opportunities as a result. So while it may not be the very highest return in general, I think for this particular site, it is likely to be the best return.
Let's go to Gerald in Pittsburgh with a question. Hi, Gerald. Welcome.
Hi there.
Go ahead with
Hello.
Your... Yep, you're on the air.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So my comment to the speaker was I didn't like the reference to industry and business as ecosystem. I know it might be a means of terminology that's being thrown around, but when I hear ecosystem, I think in terms of the natural world. So I take little offense to that. But my other question for the RIDC?
That is correct, yes.
Do you ever reclaim lands like Neville Island to return them to a natural environment? So instead of just thinking of, you know, returning it to industry and part of plastics and all that, is there any part of what you do that says, hey, we're going to take part of this and we're going to put it back to its natural state and allow, you know, the ecosystem of the wildlife and birds to reclaim this as part of the area?
Gerald, that's certainly a fair question.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's one that is not really a question for RIDC per se, but really for the region and our public leaders. So the Regional Industrial Development Corporation, we're not a government entity, so we need to pay our bills with the revenue that's generated on the site. So we don't generally turn things back into parkland, although I will say that we have in recent years put a much higher emphasis on the environmental sustainability of those sites and adding more green space and park space and natural stormwater management and mitigation to our sites. But I think it points out that there really are public-private partnerships necessary to bring these sites back into use, whether it's for parks or industry or retail or housing, because the remediation costs are so high and because some of the things that the public would like to see don't really generate return. That's where you need government assistance to step in and really help underwrite some of those costs.
And certainly you're looking at this from a redevelopment standpoint. When you hear a suggestion like the one Gerald brought up, do you think to yourself, you know, that may not be the worst thing in the world? In fact, that may be a good thing for that little island there.
No, it absolutely could be. I think you see some of the soccer fields that are being developed down in the West End on some former industrial sites as a great example of a good reuse of a former industrial site for recreation and green space. And so I don't think it's out of bounds at all to think about that as a potential use for that site. It just means that the county would have to step up in the state to help acquire that site and do the remediation and bring it into that use. But it is something that should be evaluated.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter @esspgh. Mary Ann in an email writes, "We've lived in Ben Avon for almost 12 years now. My husband uses a BiPAP machine. Every month he has to change an air filter in it that filters the air in our house into the machine. Every month it comes out black, even in the winter with the house closed up. In February, after Shenango closed down, it was clean. This is the first time ever this has happened. There is always a coating on our furniture inside of the house. It's like a greasy film of dark gray dust. This past month, it has been virtually gone." Clearly, some people happy with the fact that the Coke Works has shut down. It seems for Marianne, at least, to have had a positive impact on her life.
Absolutely. I think we really have to balance the economic impacts with the environmental impacts. And, you know, the reality is that's one of the reasons the foundations got involved with the El Mano site, was to prevent a plan to reuse it as another Coke plant, and to make sure that that environmental pollution that was being created by the Coke plant wouldn't be replaced by another plant. And instead, we'd put together a very sustainable mixed-use urban plan that brings the site back into reuse but doesn't create the same kind of pollution challenges.
Judy in Pittsburgh is on the line. Hi, Judy. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I agree with that previous caller about turning this back into a natural state. The idea being, 2 weeks ago in the Sunday paper, they even had a whole article about this, that the bees are dying, the butterflies are dying. We need to make a natural space that is off limits to humans, and that bees can thrive and butterflies can thrive. We'd be the only ones on the East Coast doing this.
Well, Judy, when you say off limits to humans, do you mean in terms of industry or
industry, pesticides, everything? You're talking less than 50 acres.
But if you did redevelop it in the way that you're suggesting and returning it to its natural state, wouldn't you want to let people have an opportunity to enjoy that?
You can ride by on a boat. You cannot walk on it. If you go down to Florida, there's places with the coral reefs. You're not allowed to be there.
Hmm.
You're not allowed to walk there. You don't need to put cigarette butts there. You don't need to put pesticides there. You want a place that's inviting to these bees and butterflies that are becoming extinct. And they come here. They thrive on natural plants that grow in Pennsylvania.
Well, Judy, interesting suggestion. I think that people, if that did happen, people would want to have the opportunity to enjoy that. We're running out of time. Let me ask you, Don, green building is a popular building alternative. So going back to the redevelopment idea, are you hearing from developers who are using this practice?
Yes, I think the industrial sector's been sort of slow on the uptake on green building practices. But for example, in the new building we're doing in Lawrenceville, we're looking to reduce energy use by 30% over standard using technologies like geothermal heating and solar technologies, as well as better insulated materials. And then on the Almano site, we're setting some very aggressive standards with our foundation partners for lowering energy use, reducing water use, generating all the energy through renewable sources, and really focused on not just the jobs and the taxes, but also the benefit to the environment and the surrounding communities, and taking more of a holistic approach.
And you mentioned that we're missing opportunities. We're down to about a minute or so here. But I wanted to circle back to that comment that you made. What are the opportunities that you feel we're missing?
Well, if you talk to the Pittsburgh Regional Alliance, which is the region's marketing arm, the number one reason that we lose projects is a lack of available real estate. So it's having the right kinds of facilities ready to go in the right locations where you have the infrastructure, you have the access, you have the talent pool so people can get there. That's the number one natural resource these days. And so we are seeing manufacturers and industrial concerns from around the country looking at Pittsburgh. Our reputation is really on the rise, and so people are paying attention. You only have to look at Google and Uber and Intel and Apple and Disney locating here, and it's clear that we're on the map. But we need to have the facilities. They don't want to wait 3 years for a new building to be built. They want to be able to move quickly. And so that's where we need to have those industrial, R&D, and office properties ready to go.
We have been looking at the future of Neville Island now that the Shenango Coke Works is going away. Donald Smith has been my guest. He's president of the Regional Industrial Development Corporation, RIDC, looking at some of the options there. Don, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an interesting conversation. A lot of possibilities for the future of Neville Island.
Yeah, there really are. Thank you. It's been great, and it's a very interesting opportunity.
Our pleasure. Coming up, the Omni William Penn Hotel is turning 100 years old. We'll talk about some of the famous guests who've stayed there, the speakeasy, and the William Penn's connection to Lawrence Welk when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.